The Judiciary Committee is now in order. We have a quorum present, that being Senators Terrio, Cowdery, Senator Ellis, and myself, Senator Taylor Chair. The purpose of today's Judiciary Committee meeting is a confirmation hearing on the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. The first person that we have up today is appointee or nominee, Mr. Thomas P. Owens. Mr. Owens, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Well, thank you for standing by. We appreciate your patience, and on behalf of the committee, I want to tell you we appreciate very much your willingness to serve. Do you have an opening statement or a brief resume or whatever, actually whatever you would like to give as your presentation to the committee? You could do so at this time, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have submitted a resume, which I assume is in your hands, so I'll just be brief. I'm a senior partner in the law firm of Owens & Turner in Anchorage, Alaska. Been in Alaska since 1967. I'm a graduate of the United States Air Force Academy with the class of 1961, a degree in engineering, rated navigator, and I graduated commissioned as a second lieutenant. I have a Juris Doctor from Duke University School of Law. I have a Master's in Clinical Psychology from Alaska Pacific University. I'm certified in Neuro-Linguistic Programming, and I'm a certified individual and organizational coach from the Hudson Institute in Santa Barbara, California. I've been practicing law in Anchorage and psychology and consulting for about 30 years. A list of representative clients is submitted with my resume of the firm. I primarily specialize in litigation and persuasion and representing employers with regard to labor and employment relations matters. And I'm happy to volunteer my services to serve on the Legislative Ethics Committee. I think I can do a good job and look forward to participating in its work, which I consider to be primarily educational and assisting the legislature in living within the laws which it has adopted to regulate its own conduct. I don't consider my function as a member of the Legislative Ethics Committee to be a watchdog as much as to be an assistant and a help to the legislators in, as I say, regulating their own affairs. And I'm open to any questions which you might want to pose.
Yeah, Thomas, thank you very much. Senator Terrio?
Yes, in your list of clients, can you tell us, is there anyone that you do the preponderance of your work for?
No. Over the years, I've done work for all of them, but we do not have one dominant client that the firm represents. We represent many, many, many businesses in Alaska and outside Alaska. We've listed, in that list of clients, we've listed clients in Alaska Native corporations, agencies of the state of Alaska, construction companies, education. We've represented the University of Alaska for many years and Alaska Pacific University. We represent Alaska Housing Finance Corporation with regard to its labor and employment relations matters, insurance companies, health service companies, quite a few municipalities within the state, City of Cordova, City of Dillingham, City of Unalaska, Municipality of Anchorage, North Slope Borough, and quite a few businesses in the oil industry, real estate, retail, utilities and telecommunications companies, just the whole gamut, but no one dominant client.
Okay, and can you tell me the number of licensed practitioners in your law firm?
We currently have 8 lawyers.
Thank you.
Further questions? I just have one kind of general question, Thomas, and that is, can you tell us how or if, is probably a better way to put it, you distinguish between a definition of the word morality and the word ethics?
Well, I think in the context of these hearings, my approach is to acknowledge that the legislature in various sessions has defined for itself what it considers to be ethical or unethical conduct. In making that decision, the legislature, certainly the individual legislators in voting one way or the other and in drafting the legislation, probably turn to their own senses of what is morally right and morally wrong to do in the conduct of the public's affairs. I would not purport to substitute my moral judgment about what's morally right or morally wrong in interpreting and interpreting and explaining the ethics statutes. I would seek to determine what the legislature decided in the exercise of its moral judgment is ethical or unethical, and I would seek to apply the statute as the legislature has adopted. I wouldn't substitute my sense of what's morally right or morally wrong for the decisions that have already been made by the legislature.
Okay. I guess my concern there is that you and I and Senator Donnelly here live by daily in our lives as attorneys by a code of ethics that is interpreted and regulated by our peers through a panel within the Bar Association.
Right.
And that those ethics that we live by have a great deal to do with attorney-client relationships, conflicts of interest, various privileges of clients and so on that must be protected, and certain rules of advocacy, that which has been determined to be appropriate or inappropriate by the court. And I think each of us have a somewhat, those of us who practice in that field, have a rather unique understanding of what the word, at least judicial code or the Bar Association's canons of ethics may mean. Now, I guess what I'm looking at is a situation where we have a great many lay members of the legislature who do not function frequently with that type of a code. And oftentimes I find people here and out in the public thinking that morality or their sense of some sort of moral folkways or mores, that morality is a subject for discussion by the ethics panel of the legislature. And I'm troubled by that because it seems to me that a legislator could be highly ethical in the manner in which they conduct themselves, and yet may be one of the worst alcoholics any of us have ever met. In other words, people might, within certain religious organizations that are opposed to the intake of alcoholic beverages or the abuse of alcoholic beverages, might find that person's personal life or their conduct offensive to their moral code, but at the same turn of the wheel, that individual might be conducting themselves absolutely ethically as far as whether or not they have inappropriately or appropriately accepted money or gifts from someone who has a cause before the legislature or something else. In other words, they could be straight as an arrow as far as everything else is concerned, but their general lifestyle may be such that might be questioned by some. I've always felt there was a distinction there and wondered if you felt there was any such distinction.
Well, I think there is a distinction. I think the ethics laws seek to define for the legislators ethical conduct. As I said earlier, they may, certainly the individual legislators in landing on whether they were going to vote for or against the statute may have brought their own moral judgments into play in making that decision, but I don't think that the members of the Ethics Committee make moral judgments. I think we seek to interpret and assist in self-regulation and enforcement of the ethics codes. There's a difference between ethics and morals. I'm a graduate of the Air Force Academy. We had an honor code at the Air Force Academy, which was really a code of ethical behavior. You're correct. I'm a member of the Bar of North Carolina and a member of the Bar of the State of Alaska and the Supreme Court of the United States. And you're also correct that there is a very strict, complicated code of ethical behavior, which is not morally based. The foundation for those rules of ethical conduct probably certainly do have a moral basis somewhere, but when you get to the level of interpreting and enforcing the code of ethics, you're dealing with ethical behavior without superimposing on it your own moral code.
Well, I appreciate your taking the time to answer that question, and I want you to know the question is not unique to you, Mr.
Why no?
I have asked that question of, I think, every applicant to be confirmed for this job over the last, since we created the entity itself, because I was here when we also did that. But I thank you very much for that answer and for the clarity you gave us on that. Were there any other questions? Yes, Senator Donnelly.
Hi, Tom. Dave Donnelly.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, one of the concerns I've sometimes had is that APOC and the committee have sometimes kind of extrapolated their own view of the statutes and not really always confined themselves to the parameters of the statutes regarding ethics as I thought would have been wise on their part, and didn't always really consult or attempt to find legislative intent. They kind of imported their own thoughts into what they thought those statutes should mean rather than what they actually said. And I think as an attorney, I think you're going to recognize more than the average person the difference. It's almost like the role that we hope our judges play when they're looking at the law. They're not really trying to inject their own thoughts of what that statute should say. They're trying to figure out what the statute actually does say, and if it's somehow unclear what they thought the intent of the statute actually was. Do you have any thoughts about how you're going to bring your personal philosophy in dealing with that to the job?
I do. First of all, I'm impressed with the way the past Ethics Committee has gone about setting up the Ethics Committee process of giving advice, informal advice, answering questions, giving people who are in doubt about what's the best way to proceed or what the statute probably requires or does require or doesn't require, giving those questioners an opportunity to ask questions, get informal advice, get it in a confidential way if that's the way they want to get it. In other words, take prophylactic activities to prevent violations of the statute. And it's clear to me that process is enabling the committee to develop a body of, it's not case law, but it's a body of advice law, which is a benefit to everybody. It stops problems before they start. So I really like that. As far as is my role, if a issue comes before the Ethics Committee, the first thing I'm going to look to is the statute, what the legislature has announced as its own rules to govern its own conduct. And as you know, as an attorney, one of the things that we do in looking at a statute is we look at the legislative history, and we look at what the legislature has said it intended by adopting the statute that it adopted. I think the last thing that we would do would set out to write our own statute or construct our own system that departs from what the legislature has said it wants to be bound by.
Thanks, Tom.
Further questions?
Yeah. Go ahead. Can you tell me how it came that your name was advanced? Was this something that they sought you out, or you had expressed a desire?
Under the statute, the nominees for the Ethics Committee are appointed or nominated by the Chief Justice of the Alaska Supreme Court. I was called by Chief Justice Dana Fabe, who asked me if I would be willing to serve on the Ethics Committee. I considered the request and told her that I would be honored to serve on that committee, and so she wrote a letter nominating me to serve on the committee pursuant to statutory requirement.
Yeah, we've got the letter here. I was just wondering if it was something you were interested in serving on or they had approached you.
She approached me.
Okay, thank you.
Are there other questions? Rowans, I don't have any further questions for you either, and I want to thank you again for offering to serve. It's to me, it's refreshing to have an attorney on the panel, and to have someone with your background and experience is I think a real plus for all of us. We wish you the very best, and we'll entertain a motion that we sign a letter. I guess that's what we do.
If I can make one comment for the record, Mr. Chairman, let's make that Thomas P. Owens, Jr.
Jr., all right.
Yeah, because there's a Thomas P. Owens III out there who's also an attorney. He's my son.
Uh-huh.
And so we're always confusing the courts if we don't put Jr. and the third down there. So I'm Jr.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You know, every once in a while, about once a year, the Anchorage courts are calling me and sending me kind of nasty letters down in Wrangell because of an attorney by the name of Robin L. Taylor, who is practicing there in Anchorage. It's a young woman. I've never met her, but every once in a while she gets her calendar jammed up a little bit and maybe forgets to get back to somebody.
You should sit in a trial when I'm trying a case against Brad Owens.
I bet that's fun. I imagine the bench probably starts referring to you by your first names.
Well, they do, but the jury looks like we've all gone crazy.
Yeah, or you're all a bunch of pals in concert.
Right.
Senator Cowdery, you have moved?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion.
Yes.
To write the letter approving.
Yes.
For this seat, and last unanimous.
Well, if you need a vote, is there any objection to the motion? There being no objection, the motion passes. We have a letter here for you each to sign. Again, Tom, thank you very much. We'll look forward to seeing your good works in the future.
Thank you.
The next person we have up is Mr. Cook, Dennis E. Cook, also known as Skip. Are you on?
I am. Can you hear me? I can hear you fine.
Yes, you're coming in loud and clear. Could you give us an opening statement or a kind of background, resume, whatever you would like as a presentation to the panel, please?
Sure. I've been serving on the Ethics Committee for 2 years. This is going into my third year. I was initially contacted by Skip Matthews, who was the Chief Justice at that time, and then I was recontacted this year by Chief Justice Fabe. One of the reasons I was not willing to continue service on the committee is that we've had a fairly high turnover, and it is a time when we're in transition because our staff person, Susie Barnett, is leaving us at the beginning of the summer, and it's important, I think, that we have some continuity and that we have a smooth transition process as we change staff. so I'd indicated a willingness to serve again. And at our recent meeting in Juneau, I was elected by the committee as the chair of the Senate subcommittee, which means that I would be chair again for the second year of the overall committee. I, too, am a lawyer. It was interesting that Mr. Senator Taylor said he was glad to have a lawyer on the panel. We have several. I was born and raised here in Fairbanks. I've only really lived away from Fairbanks to go to school. I'm fortunate to have my parents still living here in Fairbanks, and I have a large family of my own, seven children and a bunch of grandchildren, many of whom live here, so we're permanent in this location. I went to MIT undergraduate, got a degree called Economics, Politics, and Engineering, which was their way of telling me it was probably time to leave. I then went and got a master's degree in political science, and then later, 5 years later, went back to law school. In the meantime, I was fortunate to get a job running the first organizational election for the North Star Borough. That was a mandatory borough election, which was kind of a fun, but it was not a popular event in Fairbanks by any means. And then I went down to Juneau and worked under Governor Egan as the head of the local affairs agency, which was the predecessor of community and regional affairs and so on. I came back to Fairbanks to work on the Centennial Exposition, which I managed up until I went to law school in 1967. And then when I came back, I started with the firm of Murdy Scheibel, Staley & DeLisio, which has had several names since then, but is now called Cook, Schumann & Groskos. And I've been with that same firm for 31 years. The firm has 10 lawyers, 5 partners, and 5 associates. We have a very broad practice of law, just a wide variety of. We don't do a lot of securities law or things that don't happen in Fairbanks, but almost all the types of law that happen in Fairbanks, someone in the firm tackles a part of. My resume is there too, along with Chief Justice Spade's letter. It outlines some of the extracurricular activities that I've been involved in, church and Rotary and Scouts and so on. I'm happy to continue serving. I've enjoyed my service on the committee. I think that we, as a group, view the task as trying to make certain that people know what the ethical expectations are so that they can follow them without us having to handle complaints. And frankly, quite recently, we've had the complaints have been rather few and far between, and we like it that way. It means that perhaps our efforts at prevention and education have been successful. So I'd be happy to continue serving. We're in the midst of just starting our recruiting process for our new staff. Susie Barnett has been excellent staff. She does excellent training for new legislators as they take office, and we want to make sure that kind of service continues. As for I'll just anticipate the question if it's not inappropriate. About morals and ethics. If you look at today's Anchorage Daily News, Section B, headline article, Juneau Odd Couples Share Roof, that was as a result of a call that I had both last year and this year from the reporter who really wants to make something out of the fact that sometimes under the same roof are lobbyists and legislators or legislative employees. I think she's trying to make some moral judgments where perhaps our committee would be looking at the ethical side of things, and I hope my responses to her as they came out and made that clear. We're not there to say who can share the same roof unless it violates the ethical code and we get a complaint. And as I told her, we haven't had any complaints. and we're not going to go out and lobby for some law change that gets into the area of morals. That's not our function. And we're simply there to make certain that the disclosures that are required to be made are made, and we review the disclosures, and if there was anything out of line or if somebody made a complaint, then we take action. But we're not out in the forefront campaigning for anybody's perceived set of morals.
Dennis, I appreciate that very much. I note that you graduated from Willamette the year after I did. I got out in '69.
Right, I'm aware. I remember you. You probably don't remember me, but you were the upperclassman, so I remember you.
Well, I want to thank you on behalf of the committee for your years of service, and I especially appreciate the fact that you have stayed on to provide continuity. I think continuity is very important within boards like this, and appreciate your having given us of your good time and your good offices for this period, and hope that all goes well with you in the future. I don't have any other questions for you, Mr. Senator Cario.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I intend to vote in favor of Mr. Cook's continuation on the board, but I do want to disclose that my wife is one of the five partners at Cook's Union Gross Clothes, so there's a close economic relationship certainly between her and him, and I count Skip as a personal friend of mine, but I did want to disclose that.
Yeah, thank you very much. Any further questions? I would entertain a motion. Senator Cowdery.
I'd like to make the motion. Same motion.
Is there further discussion of the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? There being no objection, the motion passes. And we have another letter, probably with Senator Cowdery's name spelled wrong again.
Other than that, I really apologize. They're both on that one.
Steve, so. Down one.
Yeah, got them mixed up.
They invest a lot of money in that name ID.
Is that
another letter?
I'm sorry, Dell, they're both on that one.
Oh, okay. Well, we've got it taken care of then. We need to get another letter done up, so we have one on each one of them.
All right.
Okay, if there's anything further to come up, the people that, I might mention this before we close, the people that are working on 37, the bill we had the hearing on concerning the doctors and the insurance companies and the other folks.
The doctors.
Yeah. Got back to me today. They're going to have some more meetings and some more discussions, and they'll be getting back to us. So I still don't have a date for that yet, but we should have one in the near future. Other than that, we are adjourned.